video. And there is the audio. And it is the Sabbath of God, the eighth day, the great day, solemn assembly. Shabbat Shalom. Very good. And that was Sister Teresa holding the horn there for everyone. It was nice having her at this week. Very nice having you. We are one of Messiah congregation, Kahal Chabe Mashiach, just a little piece of the Israel of God, Adat Yisrael. And this is the last day. Isn't that a shame? The great day, the holy convocation, a solemn assembly, I've said it. And here we are. You know, it always amazes me. We wait all year for these, feasts and holy days, and then they just go, it's over. But we're only doing it in rehearsal. That's the only thing that I could say. Most people probably don't know we're just doing a rehearsal, you know. But someone in someone's lifetime, it's going to be very amazing when the trumpet really does blow. But today's a Sabbath, and it's a joyful time. There's my phone number. There's my website. And, of course, we just went through the Feast of Tabernacles, which is at the year's end. And everyone should know this scripture because Judaism is still telling everybody it's New Year. And it's the last harvest of the year. And you should know the verse, wherever it is. I think I had it. I don't know where I put it. Maybe it's on a different website. Okay? Make sure you find that verse. Anyway, let's pray and ask God to bless and anoint this day. And may God be with you. Heavenly Father, Master of the universe, forgive us for any sin, any blemish, any spot, any wrinkle. Heavenly Father, I know you're very aware of us. You hear every thought in our mind, in our heart, and our soul. We can't hide from you. Bless and anoint this Shabbat. And I thank God for the brothers and sisters that are here and for the possible ones that may come. You're very aware of them. Show us when more brothers and sisters are, Father. We'll go get them or bring them to us. Bless and anoint this day. Bring us the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. Give us, increase our faith. Give us wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and the fear of God. Heavenly Father, bless this day. Bless everyone here that's here, everyone on the internet, and anyone that would listen to this in the future. I pray today you'll heal everybody spiritually and physically. Take away anything that's corrupted out of our minds, hearts, and souls. Fill us only with the truth. I thank and praise you, Father. You've made us this forensic spiritual detectives that we want the evidence. And you said to prove all things, and we do. Bless and anoint this day, and the joy of the Lord. Let it fall upon everyone, and the Holy Spirit, the Ruach of Elohim, may be upon you in Yeshua's name. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Well, today is October 24th. This month is about over in the Gregorian calendar. And that was a confusing month to the average person that knows the information because it used octo used to mean eight, but now it's the 10th month. However, we're in the month of God called Ha'etanim, which the world I still haven't seen too many people knowing about that, Ha'etanim. And it's the 22nd day. It's the last day. Right? And you're very aware of all this information, you people here, right? About Elohim. Our Elohim is enduring, permanent, brooks, Yehovah, the first and the last. The first and the last. That's so amazing. The beginning and the ending. And there's the little breakdown of that word Ha'etanim, which I found many years ago when I was looking at the word, because it was curious to me that no one knew it. And everyone was saying October or September, and Judaism was saying Tishrei. To me, it was a big deal because looking at it, I thought, first thing my eyes saw was, the Aleph and the Tav, the first and the last. There it is right in front of my eyes. And then I didn't know the word Neem there, so I had to look that up. And the word Etan means the same thing, this perpetual stream. And I started thinking, the first thing that hits my mind was, Yehovah is the living waters, and that's so important because most people, in our congregation, you might think this is like redundant and over the same thing. But I'm telling you, on the internet, it's over and over and redundant Tishrei. So I'm trying to counteract the redundancy that's going on in the world. Because just think, most people don't even know today's a Shabbat. I mean, it's Monday. I mean, whoever would think that, right? Even the Seventh-day Adventists are missing out. Oh, it's very sad. So anyway, there's the scripture you should definitely have imprinted in your mind, 1 Kings 8:2, I hope by now, where it says in the English, Eitanim, in the Hebrew, Ha'eitanim, right? So everybody should know that scripture. For your convenience, and I hope you take advantage of this, my website is still running. You could read my studies, you could listen to them, you could watch them, you could download them. I'm trying to do everything in my power possible to get the gospel out. I don't know what else to do. We used to run around the cities and go to nursing homes, jails, prisons. We used to go to assisted livings. That was just a waste of time because most of the people weren't even looking for God. And it didn't avail anything. I taught at schools. I taught at high schools. I taught at grammar schools. I taught at those academies. And everyone enjoyed it, but I never heard back from anyone. Isn't that so amazing? So I feel a kinship to the prophets because they were just thrown in dungeons, you know. They were rejected. They were hated by everyone. Apostle Paul was called rude. Rude in speech. Yeah, I heard that plenty of time through my existence doing this, but not in knowledge. Anyway, today's the eighth day of Sabbath. It's the last great day of Holy Convocation. It's a solemn assembly, and it's really nice to be here with people that understand this. So we're going to speak unto the children of Israel, and that's you. You're the recipients, the descendants of Jacob, you know. The 15th day of this month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days, which we did. First day was a holy convocation. We did no civil work therein. 7 days we made an offering by fire unto Yehovah, you know. On the 8th day, there's a holy convocation, which is today. And the same thing, an offering. It's a solemn assembly. We're not going to do any type of work out there. And there it is right there in the Hebrew, in case you enjoy that. There it is. It's a solemn assembly. It said it, you know. Special holy day, a meeting. It's a meeting, a public assembly, you know. A day to get together. And this day is going to, I'm always waiting for the day where it's going to seem more joyful when there's like just a whole crowd of people that are doing this. Because I realize just having a couple of people, you know, sometimes you feel like, is it even worth doing this? You know, a couple of people and what a dread, you know. But it is to me, because I would be joyful if one person came, or just my wife came, or you, just two of you came. Because it's, to me, it's something that, you know, it's absent from the world. It's deleted from the world. So we must be doing something, right? Because when I see something glaring at me that everything's deleted, that means there's something really wrong. And most people don't understand that. In other words, it's overboard that there's no Sabbath today, overboard there's no feast. So to me, there must be something going on that we're supposed to know. So, these are the feasts of Yehovah. And that's really amazing when I read that, because that causes me to pause, Selah, you know. Because I start thinking, this is the God of the whole, beyond the universe, you know, that created the universe. These are his feasts. What does that really mean? I mean, I don't really know what that really means, because were these his feasts before he even created the universe? I mean, I don't know. These are his feasts, which he's proclaiming to be holy convocations for us, sacred meetings, to make an offering by fire unto Yehovah, a burnt offering and a meat offering and an offering, offering a sacrifice and drink offerings and all this stuff they used to do. Today we do the fruit of our lips, you know, the calves of our lips, the sacrifices of our lips, praising his name. And this is, and you're supposed to do all these feasts besides the Sabbaths of Yehovah, and besides your gifts, and besides all your vows, and besides all your free will offerings, which you give unto Yehovah. I always get the feeling that when he's from everlasting, that's what he's used to. Everyone praising him and giving, you know, all the host of heaven just singing praises to him. And, you know, just, it must be so amazing. We can't even imagine what that means. And here it is. He's, you know, endowed it upon us, you know, this us little pieces of dust that he's allowed us to even know about him. That's, you know, he could have just, we could have never came into existence, actually. He's still there. Isn't that weird? He could have never made us, but he's still there. He could have did something else. But somehow, he says he gave us his holy Sabbath. He let us know about that. It's amazing to me. I think of a lot of things when I read the Bible. That's why sometimes I read real slow. Even with you guys, I might read a little fast because I know we want to read chapters and get through it. You know. But a lot of times when I read myself, I stop after almost every two words and start thinking about all the things that could be. You know. Also, on the 15th day of the seventh month, we gathered in the fruit of the land. We did. We gathered in our little grapes, my wife and I. And says, you shall keep a feast unto Yehovah 7 days. The first day was a Sabbath, and the eighth day is a Sabbath, which is totally lost in the world. That right there is, if you only can realize, that doesn't even exist. It does not exist anywhere besides here. And you shall, it says, we went and got the first day, we went and got boughs of good trees, branches of palm trees, boughs of thick trees, willows of the brook, and we rejoiced before Yehovah our God 7 days. My wife and I said a little prayer last night before the Feast of Tabernacles and in the tabernacle, and all I could think of is, you know, it's over again, Father. We rehearse it as best we can. And forgive us if we do anything wrong, and we're just looking forward to really tabernacling with you throughout eternity. We know we're not in the wilderness, you know. We know we're just rehearsing it. That's the only word I can come up with. And you shall keep it a feast unto Yehovah 7 days in the year. So God only has, I know this might sound redundant to you, but I always look at God only has 1 year. Even though Judaism made two calendars, that's what I see, with two different years. It's a statute forever throughout your generations. You should celebrate it. It's not in New Year. It's in the seventh month. So this information that I keep trying to, God keeps hitting me with, I'm trying to run it by you. And we dwelled in booths 7 days, as much as a booth as we could figure out. Everyone that's Israelite born. I was wondering, I wonder how they built their booths, because they were already in the wilderness. I don't know how they went from whatever they were living in to another thing, because probably was basically the same thing that they built that they were living in. They were already, think of it, they're really in the wilderness. You know, we're just in this place called America here, wherever you live, and it's not the wilderness. That your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am Yehovah your God. Amen. God says that a lot. He wants to make sure you remember it was him that brought you out of the land of Egypt. It was him that brought you out of your last life of sin and delusion and all the things that you were in that you might have even enjoyed, but they were a delusion. You know, they were just a make-believe. They were nothing. All the things that you used to be in. So that's what I always, after I see he brought us out of the land of Egypt, that's what I always think. He brought me out of my last life of sin. And, you know, I thank God for that. I hope you do too, because you could be, God could have brought your brother here or your sister or your cousins. I mean, you could be in La La Land yet, you know. Anyway, so we did it again. Leviticus 23, we read this already, it's the eighth day. There's not really a lot to say about this this day, the eighth day, it's a holy convocation, because it's a day of really getting together. But I noticed in Numbers it says the same thing. On the eighth day you shall have a solemn assembly. And Nehemiah 8 says, and they found written, this always impresses me because I feel the same thing that they must have felt. they found written in the law, the Torah, which Yehovah had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast in the seventh month. I mean, that was a very amazing to me when I found it and we found it and started doing it. We're just like Nehemiah. We're just like them. We found written in the book too that we're supposed to do that. And it was in the seventh month, and it was a feast. Just think, most people haven't even found that yet. They're not looking. And we try to sometimes publish it and proclaim it in the cities and in Jerusalem and saying, go forth unto the mountain, fetch olive branches and pine branches and myrtle branches and palm trees, branches of thick trees to make boots as it is written. We're not going to do anything else. We're not going to do something, no commentaries, but only as it is written. And remember, God added no more. There isn't any more. So all these like we were hearing some words last Sabbath about, you know, even though it's wrong, the oral law. There's no such thing as an oral law, okay? Because if you just use your mind a little bit, if they forgot the written law for hundreds of years, how would you ever remember the oral law? I mean, think about it. And I always think about something that happened to me one time, just to show you how that kind of oral stuff goes wrong. This is off the Bible for a second. One time me and my friends were working in this lady's yard, and it was very hot out, and the lady was very nice. A whole bunch of us were doing some kind of work. So she told the one guy if we wanted a Coke. But about time it got to the end of the guy on the end of the road, I mean the end of the thing, he thought, she said, do you want a coat? And it was so hot out, and he said, a coat? He goes, what is she, crazy? It's so hot out here. But this is to show you how oral stuff sometimes, yeah, over time or over distances, can get misconstrued. That's why there's no such thing as an oral law. That's what I'm getting at. Yeah. No one would remember that hundreds of years later. You know they would embellish it or leave something out or change it as they want it. All right. So these people actually went forth and they brought them and made themselves boots. Everyone upon, I mean, they weren't, these guys, they look like they had a little more neighborhood there. They went on the roof of their house. They had houses, obviously. They went in the courts of the house of God, and the street of the water gate, and the street of the city of Ephraim, a gate of Ephraim. And all the congregation of them that will come out of the captivity, which is sort of, again, when I see the captivity, I always think of, we were captive from Satan, you know, we were captive by Satan. We broke out of that kind of spiritual captivity. We made ourselves boots and we sat under them. For since the days of Yeshua, or Joshua, or Yehoshua, he's got so many names in the Bible. I think he's got four or five names. I wrote them all down somewhere. The son of Nun, unto that day, had not the children of Israel done so, and there was very great gladness. So, it is a great gladness. Now, and I always wonder if they were doing it in thinking about tabernacling with the Lord throughout eternity. I have no idea. Also, from day to day, from the first day unto the last day, he read in the book of the law of God, which we did, and they kept a feast 7 days, and on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according to the manner, and that means according to what was written. Second Chronicles, Solomon kept a feast 7 days, and all Israel with him, a very great congregation, which we haven't experienced yet, from the entering of Hamath unto the river of Egypt, and in the eighth day they kept a solemn assembly, his Solomon. So I wonder why he says that no one did it. Because here's Solomon doing it. I don't know. Maybe they didn't do it with two. I don't know. I really don't know the answer to that. There are a few other, in case you don't know, there are a few other solemn assemblies in the Bible. Some are not so good, actually. Deuteronomy says, 6 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day shall be a solemn assembly. We do that too. Remember that? Feast of unleavened bread. We have a solemn assembly also. We don't do any work on that day. In Joel it says, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land unto the house of Yehovah, your God, and cry unto Yehovah. Yeah. Joel says, blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Even pagans, believe it or not, have solemn assemblies. Yahu, or Jehu, said, proclaim a solemn assembly for Baal. And they proclaimed it. That's really bad. Satan's always trying to imitate God. That's why I put that there. Everything that God has, he has an imitation for. Yeah, it's a trap. Yeah. Of course, we read this numerous times already, John chapter 7. I'm not going to read it again. I'll just go through it real quick. And the reason why they call it the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand is because in verse 2, is because obviously Herod and all the people at that time, none of them were keeping any feast of God. So that's the only wording they could put there, you know. And of course, you know, here we have Yeshua's brethren didn't even believe in him. I guess he didn't fit the part, you know. He was the brother of some of these people, and Yeshua had sisters too. They probably thought, well, how could you be the Son of God? We know you. Matter of fact, you have the same mother and father I got. How'd you come from heaven? Anyway, his brethren did not believe in him. Some people you got to watch out for that spirit of unbelief. I've talked about that many times. It's actually a spirit. It's always lurking to get you to not believe. Yeshua said, my time is not yet come. Your time is always ready, always ready. That's right. The world cannot hate you, but me it hates because I testify of it that the works are ever evil. So here we have him going up to the feast, and it was so nice at that point because the temple was still there. It wasn't destroyed, you know. The temple that Ezra, Nehemiah, and Zerubbabel reconstructed and put together again and rebuilt. They can even go right to the temple. I wonder how that felt, because everybody was doing the Feast of Tabernacles, you know. It must have been like, wow, we don't have any place to go like that. We have to just come. There's no place in Israel to go either, because my wife and I have been to Jerusalem 5 times. There's no place to go to keep no Feast of Tabernacles. I mean, all there is a bunch of people that don't even believe in any commandments there. We didn't meet I don't think I met anyone that kept the commandments. Maybe one lady that seemed like she was doing good. And maybe one policeman that he was a friend of mine there. Maybe they were doing good. But everyone else... But there's nowhere to go to keep the feast day. Matter of fact, Yeshua made it very clear that in the last days, neither in Jerusalem or any of these places you worship the Father, but the Father wants you to worship him in spirit and truth. So that means wherever you are, you better be in the Spirit of God, in the Word of God, because the Word is spirit. And really make sure you know your Word and make sure you understand it, you know? So here's Yeshua going to the feast, and it must have really felt like a feast. I bet it really, you know, it must have felt totally different because, you know, it's probably packed out with people and everyone's there and just the whole thing going on. So Yeshua went there later on. Right in the middle of the feast, Yeshua went up into the temple and he taught. That was his whole thing. He just wanted to teach, you know. And, of course, the Jews marvel and saying, how does this man know letters, having never learned? They thought he was, like, ignorant or something. How foolish. Huh? He said, my doctrine is not mine, but the Father's that sent me. A lot of people never recognize it's the Father. If any man will do the Father's will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. It's really important. He that speaks of himself seeks his own glory. But he that seeks the Father's glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Right. So we got to always think it's the Father, this omnipotent, omnipresent, amazing, I don't want to say creature, but this entity that's beyond our imaginations is observing us. And, you know, I was reading a verse the other day in Job where it says, and his footsteps are not something, not found or not noticed or something. And then he says, he passed it by me and I perceived it not. He gives me the chills when I say that. Because God could be like sitting right next to you, listening to your heart. Oh. Praise the Lord. And these people go, did not Moses give you the law and yet none of you keep the law? He goes, what do you want to kill me for? None of them kept the law. Isn't that weird? The people answered and said, you have a devil. They immediately they shoot the messenger. They just start calling him names and accusing him. They don't even listen to what he's saying. Yeshua answered and said unto them, I have done one work and you all marvel. Moses therefore gave you circumcision, not because it's of Moses, but of the fathers. And you on the Sabbath day circumcise a man, which you might think is work. But if a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision and the law of Moses should not be broken, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry with me because I have made every man wit whole on the Sabbath day? In other words, it's okay to do well on the Sabbath day. It's okay to do good on the Sabbath day. It's not a sin to do good things, something good on the Sabbath day. Judge not according to appearance, which a lot of people do. They look at the appearance of people. People have done that to me. They don't like, some people didn't like my hairstyle. Now my hair's falling out. Hope they like that. When I started, I had real hair. Some people didn't like my accent. Some people didn't like my personality. But they judge according to appearance. They don't judge righteous judgment. Like, well, besides all that physical stuff, what is he doing? Is he keeping the commandments? Is he saying and doing the same thing? Then said some of them in Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill? And lo, he speaks boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do not the rulers know that this indeed is the very Messiah? See, the people at that time, they were reading their Tanakh there. That's all they had, of course. That is the word of God. And they were going, this has to be him because he did everything it says. He fulfilled all the prophecies. That's why you have to know the prophecies. Howbeit, we know this man whence he is, but the Messiah comes, no man knows whence he is. That's the argument, the other side, the doubters. There's always those doubters and the people that want you to not believe, don't believe. Then cried Yeshua in the temple as he taught, saying, you both know me and you know whence I am. I am not come of myself, but the Father that sent me is true, and you know him not. Whew. Wow. That's powerful. But I know him. I know the Father. I am from the Father, and the Father sent me. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him because his hour wasn't time. His hour has not come. And many of the people believed on him and said, when Messiah comes, will he do more miracles than these which this man has done? They're still confused. The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him. And the Pharisees, you know, it's always the religious leaders that, you know, want to get there with their older uniform and academic, pride. The Pharisees came and the chief priests, you know, and they sent officers to take him. Then said Yeshua unto them, yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto the Father that sent me. You shall seek me and you shall not find me, and where I am, you cannot come. Then said the Jews among themselves, well, where's he going to go that we're not going to find him? Is he going to be dispersed among the nations, the Gentiles, and teach them? What manner of saying is this that he says, you shall seek me and not find me, and where I am, you cannot come? And then, of course, here it is, the last day, the great day of the feast. So Yeshua is doing this, today, except it was many, many years ago. And you notice he has a whole different message on this day. He says, Yeshua stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Wow. He says, "He that believes on me, as the scripture had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." There's that Mayim Chayim that Brother Zach here sings about. Yeah. And that Mayim Chayim really is the Spirit. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Yeshua was not yet glorified. So the Mayim Chayim is the Spirit of God, you know, this living waters that God wants to impart unto you. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard the saying, said, "Of a truth, that is the prophet in Deuteronomy." I don't know if they said Deuteronomy, because that's a Greek word. That's the truth, what they said in the Torah. That prophet we read about last night. There he is. A lot of Jews know that term, the prophet. Others said, "Wait a minute." They didn't even know the prophet and the Messiah were the same thing. Others said, wait, this is the Messiah. But others said, wait a second. Where does it say the Messiah is going to come out of Galilee? You know? Had not the scripture said that Messiah comes of the seed of David? Of course, it says that in the Psalms, right? He's of the fruit of David's body. Out of the town of Bethlehem, the house of bread, you know, Bethlehem, where David was. Doesn't it say that? And of course, Yeshua always brings division. You got to watch out for the division, because it might try to enter your heart and your thoughts and your mind and your family and your relatives. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. And then here comes the officers. You know, they thought they were... The officers came to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto him... Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they say unto them, the Pharisees say, "How come you didn't bring him? Where is he?" And the officers answered, "Well, we went there, but no man ever spake like this man." I mean, his words must have been with power and authority that they couldn't even do anything. Just like, whoa. Just think of that. He's in the temple teaching. That's pretty powerful. Then answered the Pharisees, "Are you also deceived, you chief priests? What's wrong with you? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? But the people who know not the law are cursed." Then here comes Nick. I don't really know his name. They call him Nicodemus. He must have had a different name. That sounds a little Greek to me. Said unto them, he came to Yeshua by night, being one of them. So he snuck there in the night, you know, because he knew that he was a teacher come from God. He had to go. He knew that nobody can do these miracles unless God sent them, you know. Doth not your Lord, and he comes with a righteous statement. He goes, and this is what we were supposed to do. Doth our Lord judge any person before it hears what he's done or accused of and knows what he did? You just don't accuse somebody of something. Where's your witnesses or where's your evidence? They answered and said unto him, "Art thou also of Galilee, Nick?" Or whatever his name is. Search and they're trying to put him down. They say, "Search and look for out of Galilee." See, they're just harping on this Galilee stuff because they didn't read the scriptures in Isaiah about Galilee. They didn't know those scriptures. But they keep saying, see, they keep going back to their little subject. "Oh, wait a minute. Come on. You don't know anything about Galilee. Search and look. Out of Galilee, there's a rise, no prophet." They didn't even want to hear nothing else. They're doing exactly what we're supposed to do. When people try to talk to you, you bring them into your arena. Don't fall into their trap. And everybody went to their own house. Well, anyway, I'm going to believe God for rain soon, because Bul is coming. Pretty soon will be the eighth month of God, called Bul. It's not Cheshvan or Ma Cheshvan, which is made up in Judaism. We have to go through that whole thing, because that's all they'll be saying. And there it is right there, 1 Kings 6:38, so you have to know that. Just try to memorize that little verse. 6:38, bull. So, beware, soon many pagan holidays, once upon a time. Did you know once upon a time Halloween was banned? It was not even celebrated in America until 1845. And that's all people are thinking about right now, I know. That's all they're thinking about. But anyway, I thank you for being here today, and may the Mayim Chaim, the Spirit of God, come upon you on this eighth day. And we have to believe it's the Father that sent him, and it's the Father that is the one. So I'm going to say Shabbat Shalom, and may the joy of the Lord be upon you, which is your strength. And may God bless the rest of the Sabbath, bless the food, bless the singing, bless anything we do, the conversations. May God heal you and your body and your mind and soul and spiritually and physically. And may God always lead, guide, and direct us where he wants us to be, what he wants us to do, what he wants us to say, who he wants us to be with, and everything else. And may God help us in our lifetime. In Yeshua's name, amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. God bless you. And it's a quick little study, but I hope you got something out of it. I try to put a little more to it. Shabbat Shalom. I'll wave to the camera there. Bye. And then I'll shut the audio.